Celia, the day is November 25th, 2020.
Querida Celia, the day is, December 23rd. Today's December 23rd. Happy Merry Christmas Eve. Right? So I graduate in 4 days. The day today is May 18th, 2021.
The day is June 2nd, 2021. The day is February 15th, and it is 1:43 a.m.
I hope that when you listen to this, estoy super lista. Y va a ser muy divertido. Okay, that's all. Love you, bye.
Today is Sunday, January 28th, 2024. And welcome back to my little corner of the internet, to my little corner of the podcast. Galaxy, the universe. Today, I wanted to have kind of a thoughtful introspection. I've been feeling very nostalgic today and also very distracted. I feel like I keep getting very easily distracted. Pero todo es parte del show. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, I posted something on TikTok and Instagram, and I was looking through old pictures of me from like 2020, 2021, and I look so different. I feel like I have become a different person in the last year, especially maybe in the last, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years. And this is for a lot of different reasons. And I think one of the main things, which this is going to sound really weird to say, but I feel like I released so many expectations of myself, and I also put in more expectations for myself, which doesn't make any sense. I know that that doesn't make any sense. But what I mean by that is I think when I was in college, especially in my last year of college, I was not doing well. And that, To say the least of that situation, I was in probably one of the worst mental spaces I have ever been in my entire life, which is hard to remember. And, you know, while a lot of my content is romanticizing life and trying to make myself feel better, there was no way that I could have romanticized that period of my life. And so I didn't. And in not romanticizing that period of my life, I remember it for exactly what it was, which was a very rough period of my life where I wasn't taking care of myself. That's really when I started writing. And when I first began writing, and I feel like I get a lot of questions about this on social media too, which I just want to say, I have a lot of imposter syndrome when it comes to social media, which I think is hilarious because I feel like that's the theme of my life, which I don't want it to be anymore. But I have a lot of imposter syndrome. And for a long time, I didn't even call myself a poet. I didn't call myself a writer. I was like, who am I? This, you know, girl who graduated with a biology degree. Why am I writing poetry online? And why are people saying that I'm a poet? Now I'm a poet. Now I can tell you, after publishing 2 books, I am a poet. And I am a writer, and I love writing, and it's something that I really like about myself. But I get a lot of questions about how I started writing poetry. To be completely, completely honest with you guys, my mental health was so bad that that was my last resort. I said, I don't feel like I have anyone to talk to, which might not have been true, right? In that moment, I just felt very alone, but there were people that could have helped me if I had reached out, but I didn't feel like I could reach out, which I think is, you know, also a topic of discussion, which is very important, that oftentimes when we get into this really toxic pattern with anxiety, we feel as though nobody could ever relate to us, nobody could ever understand us, nobody would ever want to understand us, nobody could ever love us, and it's just this panic spiral that ends up with us hitting rock bottom and feeling like we will never get out. And I've been there so many times of just spiraling my brain until it's so tangled that I can't even see the sky. I can't even fathom a time where I'm going to be healed from it. And it fucking sucks. I'll say it like it is. Like, I sorry to my mom who hates me cursing on this podcast, but it fucking sucks. It really does. There's no other way to say it. When you are in such a rough mindset that even it's that feeling of when you are in a room, a crowded room, you're surrounded by people and you have never felt more alone. That's exactly what it felt like. And so I felt that if I was alone, I should at least talk to myself. And so I started writing. And, I've talked about this in the podcast before of just like, I had been in a relationship, then I wasn't in a relationship, and I haven't been in a relationship since, which I think is also something that I would like to discuss in this episode because I feel like there's this ideology that if you're single, something must be inherently wrong with you. Or, there's a reason why people don't want to date you, which I don't think is true. In that people can choose to stay single. You can choose to want to be by yourself without having that be a bad thing. And I also want to say that there is that space that still exists of, yeah, sometimes it does get lonely being single. I'm not going to romanticize it and be like, it's perfect. It's amazing. I love being single forever, forever, forever. It's my dream. No, like, obviously, there's going to be some moments where you're like, damn, bro. Like, when I had food poisoning, I was like, I wish I had a boyfriend that would like hold my hair back and take care of me and buy me Gatorade. And like, I don't know. Like, literally, I was on the floor by myself playing music to calm myself down. And did it help? Yes. Did I feel incredibly empowered after? Yes. I was like, I am the coolest, most amazing, most brave person ever. But it sucked. It really did suck. And all that to say, when I started writing, I was writing love poems for someone that I didn't think existed. I was writing things as if I had met the love of my life, as if I had met my future husband and everything was amazing and my life was amazing and I was so happy and my skin was glowing and my hair was beautiful and I was writing that when it didn't exist, when I did not feel that I could crawl out of the hole that I had put myself in. And I do feel that in part it was because of my own actions, of I noticed that I was getting to a place where my anxiety was really bad, my mental health was really bad. I wasn't taking the time to talk to anyone. I wasn't taking the time to take care of myself. I wasn't drinking enough water. I wasn't eating healthy. I wasn't exercising. I wasn't sleeping. I saw that. I knew that that was all happening. And in that moment, I had to let it happen. I let it happen because I didn't feel as though I could stop it. It felt out of my control in that moment. If I wanted to, I really wanted to, but I couldn't. And I could come up with a million excuses as to why I couldn't. I was too busy. I was too stressed. There was too many exams. There was no money. There was this. I could come up with a million excuses. And a lot of them were valid. A lot of them, if you're studying for a really hard exam, you might not be able to get a full night of sleep. And that's just kind of the reality of the situation. But so when I was writing, I wrote about this version of myself that I didn't know could exist. Honestly, I was like, yeah, like I could see myself being this happy person, that this balanced person that writes and, has these amazing friends and has this amazing relationship and all of this, even when it wasn't true. And now, what's really crazy is I 100% do believe in manifestation, and I've already recorded a podcast on that. So if you want to listen to that, like go ahead and listen to that. But I manifested so many different aspects of my life. And that's something that I feel was incredibly healing to me then, that I have almost stopped doing now, which is really weird to say because when I was really going through it, that's when I was writing in my journal the most. That's when I was manifesting the most. And I was making these lists, these manifestation lists. And I would just kind of go down and be like, oh, and I would write everything in the present tense of like, oh, I have like 5,000 followers on Instagram, whatever. Of just like, I say whatever in the sense of like, I don't remember exactly what I put, but it was like stuff like that. And I remember later on, I had looked at what I wrote, and you know, it said, like, for example, hit 5,000 followers on TikTok, because I think I was like at 100 or 200 when I wrote that. When I went back and looked at what I had written, I think I was already at 500,000. And I was like, wow, dude, okay, way to sell yourself short. First of all, like, you could have wished for so much more. And it's crazy because I feel like even when I'm manifesting, even when I am dreaming, I set these limits for myself. And I think in part it is because of imposter syndrome of I don't want to dream outside of this box that I've created, outside of these limits that I've placed for myself, because why would I be deserving of more than this? Like, this is already asking for too much. And it's not. It's like dead ass asking for the bare minimum. And I'm like, no, too much. That's too much. And this is what I mean in the sense that I released so many expectations of myself because I was like, I don't expect you to be one, anything more than you are. I gave myself that space. I said, Celia, if this is all you can give me right now, I love that version of her. I will appreciate her. I will take care of her. And if this is all you can give me right now, if this is all that we can be, that's amazing and that's okay. And thank you for that. I really appreciate your presence. And in doing that and allowing myself the space to just be, to not constantly, you know, hate myself for being that person, I developed a much healthier relationship with myself. I saw this comment today that was really sweet. That was like, oh, I hope to love myself one day the same way that Celia loves herself, or like as much as Celia loves herself, which is crazy because if I had seen that comment like 2, 3, 4 years ago, I would be like, bro, I hate to break it to you, but I am faking it. This is fake confidence. Versus now, I'm like, no, yeah, I love myself. And I think we're taught so often that that is a bad thing to say, and that's a bad thing to feel, and that it's narcissistic and selfish. And I think people forget that love is so much more than, you know, liking the way someone physically looks. That's a part of it, right? Like, sure, attraction, that's a part of it. But when I say I love myself, I mean, I have seen myself in my absolute worst moments. I've been there when she's, you know, on the floor, sick, not wanting to get up, looking so bad. And I am there for her when nobody else is. And I support her and I pull her back up and I give her a little pep talk and I say, hey, you feel really shitty right now. You feel really bad right now. And I give her that space. And I say, that's okay. Feel the way you need to feel. Your feelings are incredibly valid. And I would feel that way too if I was going through it, which, like, I am also going through it because I'm you. But I almost see myself from this, like, third point of view, this third party perspective. And then I pull myself back in and I say, Celia, I'm here for you. I got you. I got you. And to give an example of this too, you know, ever since I got food poisoning, I was very validly so afraid to start eating normally again because I was like, no, I've been eating like dry cereal and saltines the whole week because I'm so afraid of getting sick. And so sometimes, like, when I did kind of start transitioning into eating more normal food, I started to feel a little nauseous sometimes, and I was like, oh no, like, I don't want to get sick. And I would literally grab my thigh and I would just kind of like start moving my hand in little circles of just like, you know, sobándome. I don't, how do you say that in English? Like, not petting myself, but I would just kind of like be soothing myself of just like, oh yeah, like, you're okay, you're okay. And I would like pat my knee and I'd be like, you're okay, like, everything's okay. And it seems so silly to say, right? Of like, oh my God, girl, like, come on. But I'm serious. Like, it makes such a huge difference. And there have been moments where I will literally grab both of my hands and with my thumbs, I'll just kind of like start like rubbing on the other thumb. You know, like when people are like, oh yeah, like he held my hand and then he was like, you know, holding my thumb or whatever. That seems so weird to explain. But you know what I mean, right? Of like, you're holding your hands and I will hold my own hand. Like, when I'm really, really nervous or really scared or really stressed, that's what I will do. And it makes me feel so much better because I'm like, damn, I got this. I got my back. I always have my own back. Like, and while that is very important to say, and while I do think it's very important to love yourself, I think it's so important as well to know that it's incredibly okay to want somebody else to love you too. And it's so valid. And I think we're taught that if we have that feeling of, oh, I kind of wish I did have a boyfriend, or I kind of do wish I had somebody like a partner to be there with me. We're taught that that's weak for some reason, which I'm like, why? Like, literally, it's human nature to want to have somebody else. And it doesn't have to be a partner. It doesn't have to be, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Like, it can literally just be a friend. Like, we are taught that social connection is important, which I think is so crazy now, the way that society has kind of, I don't know, changed the way that connection is viewed and the way that connection is appreciated. Because yes, now we have the whole social media aspect of it, of we can be so in touch with so many different people without ever actually talking to them, right? Like, you could see somebody's post from somebody that you went to middle school with like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and know everything about their lives and never talk to them, which is so crazy. Because before, you would have to talk to someone, or somebody would have to tell you directly to know what was happening to them. And I think that's really kind of skewed our way of thinking, which, not to say social media is horrible, I think social media has a lot of really wonderful aspects of it. Anyways, back to the healing, which I was talking about to begin with. One of the things that I started doing to really get me out of this bad headspace that I was in was I started making these boards on Pinterest. And I love Pinterest. Pinterest is the love of my life. And I don't remember if I've talked about this before or not, but if I have, great. We're just going to talk about it again because I don't remember. But started making these boards on Pinterest, and I made a board for every aspect of my life. Sounds a little weird, maybe a little excessive. And I labeled them with a nickname that I very closely associated with my future self, that not a lot of people call me. And I named it that nickname, and then whatever it was. So, like, her closet, her what she eats, what she does to work out, how she exercises, how she carries herself, what her energy is, what her mindset is. And I created a Pinterest board for every single aspect of that because I didn't know where to start. I was like, I know that I don't want to be feeling the way that I'm currently feeling. I don't know how to get out of that. And I'm giving myself the space to feel that way, and then I need to get myself out because I miss the sun. I want to be out of this rock bottom that I've created in my mind, and I want to be back to myself, which I'm a happy person. I think it's so funny whenever I post dancing videos or whatever, and someone's like, "Oh my God, like she must have had too much caffeine." No, guys, this is literally how I am. This is just how I exist in the world. And then I'm like, are you boring? Like, if you're boring, just say that, which I'm sorry. I don't want to be mean. But and then, like, people are like, oh my God, like that's so like weird or cringe. I'm like, are you good? Like, is it really that? I don't know. I'm like, you can't see someone having fun and want to have fun? Well, that's what I have in me. If I see someone that's like dancing, I'm like, that's so fun. I want to do that too. But yeah, no, people are mean, but it's fine. It's fine. Me vale madre. Whatever. I think in making those boards, I really delineated how I wanted my life to be. And it's really interesting seeing it, the change that's happened in these boards in the last 2 years, because, certain clothes or outfits that I wouldn't let myself pin on Pinterest, I do now, like without hesitating. And I wouldn't put them on these boards because, again, I had this idea of what the capacity of my dreams could look like, of what my happiest, most gorgeous self could be. And because of insecurity, I kept being like, no, I wouldn't wear that because I'm insecure. No, I wouldn't do that because I'm insecure. And I kept saying that to myself so much that I wouldn't even let myself dream outside of that mindset. And then I was like, bro, nah, I don't want to be like that anymore. And so I started creating these elaborate vision boards with things that I don't even know if it would ever happen. And I was like, it could. It really could. I never in my entire life would have imagined I'd have What, like over 2 million TikTok? You think I ever imagined that? No. Literally, my vision board would be like, like 10K. I'd be like, damn, bro, 10K is already so much. Like, that's crazy. Like, and then I hit 20K. And then I hit 50K. And then I hit 100K, 200, 500, 700, 1 million, 1.5 million, 2 million. And I stopped writing my manifestations because I couldn't dream at the same pace that it was happening in reality, because I had unlocked this new version of me that I didn't even know existed. And I'm so happy that I allowed her the space to heal and to feel and to become that version of her without hating that past version of me. Does that make sense? Because I think in appreciating myself for who I was in 2020 and 2021, I allowed her to feel safe being. She could become whoever she wanted to be. She could try whatever she wanted to try. And I think so often we also really internalize what other people say. And it doesn't even have to be about us directly. But for example, if you have a friend, and this isn't specific, I'm just gonna make something up. But if you had a friend that really hated a certain type of music, and anytime like you guys were outside, it's not even that you were playing it. If they heard that type of music, they'd be like, this music sucks, man. I hate this music. Like, it's so cringe. It's whatever, whatever, whatever. You might like that music. You might not even know you like that music, but you already hate it just because your friend said they didn't like it. And so you never listen to it. Then 5 years later, you're not friends with that person anymore because it seems like maybe they weren't that nice of a person, but whatever. And you're not friends with that person. You hear a song. You hear the same song on the radio. You're like, damn, wait. I've never heard this song in its entirety before because my friend didn't like it, but I kind of like the song. So then you look up the artist. You're like, wait, I really like this music. I love this music. And then, you know, time goes on. And that's just an example of if you are surrounded by people that are constantly hating on things that you may like. Not a good sign. First of all, not a good sign because, again, happy people aren't going to be tearing down everything else. They're just going to be happy. And one of the things that I've really tried to do in the last, I would say, year and a half especially, is to really consider other people's perspectives because people are so talented in so many different ways that you can't even fathom. And instead of holding judgment, I really want to learn why they like certain things, why they feel certain ways, and really consider their perspectives. Because I'm only one person. I've only had my one life. I've only had my parents. I've only had my family. I've only, you know, grown up in California. I've only, you know, been who I am now. And I've really let myself try new things in the last year and a half. In the last 4 years, poetry being one of them. And that was something, it's so funny. I was talking to my best friend from home the other day, and she was like, Sadie, I think it's so funny that you write poetry now. And I'm like, huh, why do you say that? And she's like, you're really good. I'm not saying that to say you're not. She was like, you're really good. Love your poetry. Love you. You're amazing. And I was like, thank you. And she was like, I think it's so funny because when we were 12, you were like, I don't like poetry. I don't like listening to it, like whatever. Like you thought it was just like, you're like, nah, I'm never gonna write poetry. I could never do that. And now look at you. You're like publishing books and you have like all these followers, and it's just amazing that you've realized that you like it and you let yourself like it. And it's that same concept of somebody probably told me when I was little that they didn't like poetry. And I was like, damn, you're right, I don't like it either. And I didn't even think about it. I just inherited that opinion as my own too. I was like, oh, you're right. I don't like it either. And it wasn't until I was completely by myself that I was like, oh, wait, hold on a second. And to give you another example, when I was in my last relationship, that person, they really didn't like social media. They didn't like TikTok. And so there were times when I was like, oh, like I kind of want to start posting. Like, I don't know. But I would see the way that they would kind of like make fun of people that were content creators and be like, oh, that's so stupid. Like, why would people do that? And so I was like, oh, well, he thinks that way. Like, I don't want him to think that way about me. I'm not going to post. And I really wanted to. I remember that was one of those instances that I was like, I really want to. And I feel like I would be good at it. But I don't want someone to not like me, or I'm afraid of someone judging me. So I'm not going to do it. And then I feel like after it ended, I was like, no, I can do anything. And because I didn't care anymore, I was like, whatever. Like, I'm just going to start posting. We'll see what happens. And now here we are. Here we are, wonderful, beautiful listener. And healing is not linear, which that is a quote that I will stand by for the rest of my life, because there are moments where you are amazing, where you're dancing around. I literally dance around my room today to Hotel California, and you just dance around your room and you're like, wow, like life is so good. And then literally an hour later, you're like, I'm gonna die alone. I'm not. I'm not. You're not. We're not. But it's just, it's so funny to me. And I think having those feelings, so valid, so incredibly valid, in that, yeah, you will be absolutely in love with yourself and say, I love being single. This is the best thing that has ever happened to me in my entire life. And then an hour later, see a video of somebody in a really amazing relationship and be like, damn, wait, I kind of want that too. That's okay. Totally normal. Doesn't make you weak. Makes you incredibly human. And I think it's always kind of sad to me when I see how people, because whenever I view stuff like that, whenever I view like couples trends or whatever, yeah, sometimes it does make me a little sad. But more than anything, it inspires me. It ferociously inspires me. And I'm like, if that can exist, it can exist for me too. If Because there are wonderful men out there are wonderful partners out there, and if it can exist and I can see it, and even if I'm just seeing it on social media, people will be like, oh, it was staged, like it wasn't genuine, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. Just seeing it and seeing that somebody could even think about some of the things that are done of, how to ask somebody to be your Valentine, and then it's like all these books that somebody used to ask them to be their Valentine, or somebody writing a poem for somebody else, whatever it is. I think just seeing it, one, inspires me to and raises my own bar of what I want to be for someone as a partner. Of, oh wow, like I saw this girl, and for her boyfriend's birthday, she made this book for him of all of their memories and of all his favorite quotes. And I was like, that's something that I would have never thought about before. And now I want to do it. And she like made it this full official book. And I think he was also wanting, he had like a thesis or something that he wanted to publish. So she put that in the book to like publish it for him. And it was just something that she gave to him. Like it wasn't this big thing that she sent around. Like it was just for him. But it was to inspire him to publish his work. And I was like, wow. That's something that I would definitely want to do. And it just inspired, like it doesn't, I don't know. Life's too short to be bitter about things like that. That's my opinion, at least. And I really appreciate that people are vulnerable in on social media like that too, because if I never saw it, I don't think I would be as willing to believe that it exists. And I say that having had bad experiences, okay? But I think there's a good and a bad in everything, in the sense that even in relationships that I may have ended and it wasn't as a happy of ending that I wanted, there were still good parts to it. And I think saying that comes with a lot of maturity in being able to look back and be like, yeah, it didn't work out. And I also want to say that time is so beautiful and it's so healing as well. And there were certain things that when they happened, when they freshly happened, I thought it was the end of the world. And I was like, I'm never going to recover from this. I'm never going to move on. I'm never going to become who I want to become. I'm just going to be stuck in this sad space for the rest of my life. And now I don't even, it feels like the person that that happened to was a dream, was a nightmare. And it's just crazy to me because I look back at past experiences and it's almost as if they didn't happen. And I think it's just because I have changed so much that I'm like, if somebody, for example, if they missed that version of me that I was 4 years ago, she doesn't exist anymore. She doesn't exist. Like, do I have a lot of the same qualities? Yeah, sure, but she doesn't exist. They miss someone that isn't around anymore. And so even if they were to come back and be like, yo, I miss you, I'd be like, I don't know who that is. Sorry, wrong number. Hangs up. And that's how I feel about it too. And I think that's why it's been a lot easier to move on as I've gotten older, because when you're really young and you're experiencing things for the first time, you don't really have coping mechanisms in place to deal with them, and you don't really have anything to compare it to. And when I was thinking of this, I was thinking of when I was little and we had this like gap on the floor from a tile. I don't know what was happening, but we had like a tile missing on our floor, and I tripped on a tile and I bruised my toenail. And I was crying and I told my dad and I was like, ah, like se me va a caer, like my toenail's gonna fall, like what am I gonna do? Is my toe broken? Like, oh my God. I was freaking out. I was freaking out. And he was like, Celia, it's okay. It's happened to me before. It'll just bruise. You'll be okay. Like everything will be fine. And I was so reassured. And I was like, oh, okay, he was okay. And then I just like stopped crying and I was like, all right, everything will be fine. And it's so hard. When you can't have that reassurance, when something is happening to you that has never happened, you know, which heartbreak happens to everyone at some point in their life. But when you have never had it happen to you personally, you have no idea how to deal with it. And it's so scary. It's so scary because you're like, I had all these beautiful emotions and now they're gone and now I'm sad. In terms of they're gone as in the other person doesn't like you in that way or whatever. Like just assuming if, you know, somebody if there was a breakup, you're like, oh my God, oh my God, like, how is that possible? How can these feelings exist and then be gone? And then it's 5 years later, and you're like, oh yeah, I don't remember having those feelings. Like, I don't feel that way anymore. Those feelings are, I want to say gone, but the better word would be they evolve in terms of I took all of that leftover love that I had for someone else at the end of a relationship. And I really returned it onto myself. And I realized that a lot of the really good moments in relationships have been a reflection of what I was giving in that time. And I said, this is something that I realize I will be in a happy, loving relationship because of me. And I want to cultivate that relationship with me before I have that. And like I said, being single, not a bad thing. And I think it's incredibly healthy to also acknowledge when you need to take a step back and say, I don't think I would be a good partner for anyone right now because I'm not a good partner for myself. That is so, so, so valid. And if you need to say that, that's totally fair to say. And like I said in the last podcast episode, I think the problem arises when you're still figuring it out. Which also valid to still be figuring out of like, do you want to be in a relationship? Do you not want to be in a relationship? And it's hard. It's not always easy to know that. And I had a situation when I was in my very, very first relationship. I did not feel happy in that relationship. And I really appreciated the person. I had been great friends with the person and I didn't want to hurt their feelings. I didn't know what to do in that situation. And I was incredibly unhappy because I knew that it wasn't the person for me, the relationship for me. It's not what I wanted in a relationship. And I didn't know that until I was in it. And until, you know, we had gone through more stuff together, until I had been in more stressful situations. And I was like, okay, this might not be the best. And I had a friend of mine who sat me down and she was like, what's your favorite thing about this relationship? What's something that you really value that you don't think you would essentially get somewhere else? She's like, what do you like about this specific relationship? And I couldn't put into words a single thing because I felt so I don't want to say disconnected, but I knew that it wasn't the healthiest thing for me. And I didn't want to admit that because in leaving a relationship, you know that you're gonna hurt someone. But I don't think it's fair to also continue hurting yourself in order to heal them or to help them. And so the next day I went and I was like, hey, I don't think this is gonna work. And it was sad. People don't really talk about the other side of, you know, a relationship ending, I think so often. Like I've been on both sides. I've been the person that dumps, and I've been the person that's gotten dumped. And at that moment when I ended that first relationship, it had been like on and off or whatever. And so I was the last one to be like, no, this, we're good. This is it. And it's so funny because it wasn't even like that long of a relationship because we were like 18. We were so young. But I went home afterwards and I sobbed. I cried my eyes out as if I had been the one that had gotten dumped, as if, and that was because I felt so bad for hurting his feelings and because I knew that this was something that he really liked me. And I just felt so, I cried. I cried for a good like hour and I couldn't stop and I felt so bad. Even though I knew that it was the healthier decision for me, I felt so incredibly bad. And I felt guilty for not having known sooner, even though it was like, it wasn't that long of a relationship. But that's what I mean. Just be nice to yourself because growing up comes with being in a lot of situations that you've never experienced before, that you don't have anything to compare it to. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to do it. You don't know how to deal with certain things. And so there's a lot of growing pains for yourself, for the people that you end up meeting. And that's so normal as well. And, you know, wish them all the best. Like, sorry. I'm sorry that I broke your heart, but it's fine. And then, you know, years later, you'll both be with other people, and then it's like, oh yeah, it's like a funny story of like, haha, remember when we like broke each other's hearts? And it's like, yeah, but it's, I don't know. People are always like, your first love really like leaves an impression on you, and I feel like my first love was myself, and I don't mean that to sound like, you know, egotistical or like, oh, like I'm obsessed with myself. I don't have, you know, a partner that I'm like, oh my God, like I remember you like all the time. Like, no, like I think because I had such a bad relationship with myself and with my sense of self-worth, that is what has stuck around with me. And that is what every day I try to heal and try to leave space for. And yeah, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say it like that. I've never thought about it like that until now. I'm just, my first love was myself, is myself, will be myself. And, you know, while I'm so excited that one day I'll get to share who I am with this amazing man, I'm not in a rush. And I think that's also a maturity thing, which if you're a young listener, like, don't worry, just you'll, with time, you will see that there's no need to rush, and that, you know, it's, people are always like, oh, it'll come when you least expect it. And it's so funny because I really do believe that, even being single, because like I said, I'm in, it's like this weird limbo of like, I love being single, and then sometimes you're like, I'm gonna die alone, but you're not, and it's just, healing is so scary, but it's also so beautiful. And I really think of it as like I'm a plant, you know? And there's some times when you forget to water the plant and some of the leaves start dying and you're like, oh no. And other times you see new growth, two new leaves a week, and you're like, oh my God, the plant's thriving. And there's so many different seasons that you go through and so many different challenges and so many different wins and just realize that you have the reassurance to be yourself and to be with yourself. And I don't know, I've been with myself forever and I will be with myself forever. And I There's a part of a poem that I have that's like, I've known myself forever. She's been there all along. And it's, I say something like to abandon her would be like such a fucking crime, which is true. Like, don't lose yourself in a relationship. Don't lose yourself in a friendship, because you are worth so much. And remind yourself of that. You know, when you get in those situations where somebody doesn't like you, where somebody's bullying you, have your back. Have your back. Don't just, you know, internalize what somebody else is saying about you because you don't have an opinion fully formed yet about yourself. It's okay to be figuring it out. It's okay to be figuring it out. It's have your back. That's what I will say. And I always say that to my friends. I would say that in healing myself, I've really been able to become a lot better of a friend. Because I'm able to have these conversations with my friends. And I'm like, yo, I got your back. You let me know what you need. Like, I'm there for you. And it'll make me a really good girlfriend someday, wife someday, mother someday. And I'm excited. I'm excited to unlock those stages of my life. But I'm also very content with where I am and making my little Pinterest vision boards. And just, I'm excited to see which dreams I haven't even imagined yet that will come true. I'll leave you with that and my stream of thoughts on this Sunday evening and night. Thank you so much for listening, and let me know your opinions. What do you do when you're not feeling so great? How do you heal? Do you write? Do you listen to music? I love to bake. I was crocheting at some point. I obviously love to write and read, and just sometimes you need to be taken out of your head for a while and just distract your own thoughts. And some days you need to feel what you're feeling and create space for that too. So yeah, let me know how you feel. And if you're going through it, I'm sending you a big, huge hug. Un abrazo de oso, como dice mi mamá, un abrazo de oso. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode. Okay, bye.